This is CliffCentral.com.
So listen, Michael Artin is here from One Plan, and we're going to talk to him about medical insurance. There are a lot of questions. A lot of people want to know how it works, and he's the guy to answer it. He's been in this business a while now. He built up successfully One Plan Insurance, and we're going to talk to him about exactly how it works. In South Africa, it is common to hear people talking about medical aid and medical insurance, and most people don't know the difference. They don't know which option is the best for them. The consequences of not knowing this are that you will be affected. Most South Africans don't even know what it's like to rather skip the doctor because their funds have run out, or to be involved in an accident and be taken to a less than adequate hospital or clinic because your medical aid doesn't cover it. Well, in a bid to better educate all of us, we thought we'd give you the lowdown on the difference between a medical aid and medical insurance, and you can decide for yourself which one is better for you. So here he is. Hey, Michael, nice to see you, man.
Morning, how are you?
You just got here from the gym?
No, I'm actually late start this morning. I'm on my way to the gym after this.
Well, at least you're keeping fit and healthy.
Giving it a go.
So if you're a healthy, fit person, should you be as concerned about medical aid and medical insurance or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the natural propensity is for somebody to only start thinking about it when something goes wrong.
Right.
Unfortunately, the world doesn't work like that. You've got to make the right choices before something goes wrong.
It's like having a prenup.
Pretty much, actually. You never want to think about it.
A prenup with your body. You need to set up.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's true. You have to set up a prenup with your body to say, look, if you go badly wrong, then this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's vitally important. I think we're all acutely aware of how the public health sector falls short in terms of delivering the services that they're supposed to.
Well, you were meant to come and talk to us, 2 weeks ago, and you were sick.
Correct.
So it proves it happens to everybody.
Indeed.
So, all right, let's just talk about this first question that I asked. What is the difference between medical aid, which I think a lot of people understand in terms of, that's what pays for your medicine, and medical insurance? What's the difference?
Really what you get down to is quite a technical differential. The products aim to deliver a similar type of cover. Mm-hmm. But when you get down into the technicalities of it, they're governed by different forms of legislation. Medical aid is governed by the Medical Schemes Act, health insurance covered by the Short-Term Insurance Act or the Long-Term Insurances Act. And therefore, because of the different regulations, different regulatory bodies.
This sounds like an excuse to give lawyers money.
In some respects, it might be. Believe it or not, there's been a lot of lawsuits about where products fall in terms of which legislation. And there's still not really that much clarity in terms of it at the moment.
All right. So in other words, they're all products.
Correct.
And you've got to be, as the consumer, wise to what you need and to get what you need.
Absolutely.
Do all the insurance companies get together and try to educate people? Or is it a question of go out there and convince whoever you can to be a part of your scheme rather than someone else's? I mean, is there any kind of cooperation or collaboration between insurance companies?
Well, I think there is, and I think that's from a regulatory perspective. The whole lot of legislation are treating customers fairly. Brokers have a liability or an obligation. An obligation to clients to explain to them what they're buying as financial intermediaries. I think it goes wrong at times, and I think the message is lost in often advertising, etc., and even in financial products, you end up selling the sizzle rather than what you're really buying.
Right, and people get distracted by stuff that isn't important. Like they hear about these kind of paybacks or these incentives rather than what they're actually covered for, right?
Correct.
And then they end up with a problem, like they need constant treatment for some disease, and they go, we can't cover you. You didn't read the contract. You were so busy looking at the loyalty scheme.
Oh, but this is exactly why we get to a point where we have this love-hate relationship with our different types of insurance, and then we feel like we're being screwed over because I didn't read the fine print.
Correct.
It's 5 billion pages of fine print.
I know it always seems like that, I think, but from our side, I can be very sure that we don't endeavor to hide anything in the small print. We try and be as open and upfront about our product as possible.
Sure.
And I think we know where our product's supposed to fit into the market.
Because the more honest you are with your customers, the more likely they are to tell other people to come and join you, and the more likely they are to stay with you.
Yeah, it's about meeting expectations, I suppose.
So look, I had a look at my expenses the other day, and I saw what I'm paying for. I've got some kind of health insurance. I don't know what it is. I need to
That's a bad start.
I know. This is
my
problem.
You don't know what it is?
So this is a very real discussion for me because I honestly haven't given it enough thought, and I should.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, you've just reminded me this morning that this is important. So how hard is it to change from one insurance company to another? If we wanted to change to one plan, is it very complicated?
No, that's a relatively easy change. So within the medical scheme environment, it's quite easy to change, I think. Mm-hmm. They give you a window at the beginning of every year to change providers.
What if I want to change now? Is it difficult?
It again depends on the type of medical scheme that you're on, whether you had medical savings, you didn't have medical savings. There could mm-hmm. be a payback portion if you wanted to change, etc. So if we just distinguish, so there are medical schemes that, under the Medical Schemes Act, regulate a certain minimum amount of cover. In the health insurance space, the health insurance products are really there to try and fill the gap for people who can't quite make the jump to medical schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, look, well, we want to give you access to private hospitals.
Okay.
We want to keep you out of state. So here's a bunch of products that are actually more affordable for you. And that's where the education becomes necessary.
All right. So what's the difference between a hospital plan and a medical aid?
Depending. So the hospital plans exist in the medical scheme space as well as in the insurance space. So there has been a big gray area in terms of that. I think a lot of insurance products have been referred to as hospital plans.
Okay, and that would mean for the person on the street, if you end up in serious shit, you can go to a private hospital.
Correct, absolutely. So within the medical scheme environment, you have hospital plans,
okay,
and then you have comprehensive offerings, which are hospital plans plus medical
savings.
That
includes all your pharmaceuticals. It includes, you know, any kinds of that's where people get, into situations where they're covered by certain things and not by others.
Correct.
Huh. When shopping around for a medical aid, do you think that most of us are pretty lazy about doing our research?
I think so. I think, you know, the reality is so many people, it's the same as banking, it's the same with financial products, it's the same with most insurances. Very seldom do people take a step back and actually have a look at what they're covered for. You just
know it's there
and hope that you've got it in the event.
Yeah.
And are often very caught out when something goes wrong.
Yes.
Absolutely. But more so than that, I think we're talking about people who know that they need medical cover. And that's a small portion of the population. It really and truly is. There's a much larger number of people in the population that either can't make the jump into a medical scheme environment, into a private hospital environment, mm-hmm. aren't aware that they need to. They still really believe that the state and state health is their only option. And that's where I think the lack of education really, really exists.
Jeez, you hear horror stories, huh?
Well, I mean, there's tribunals about some of the horror stories at the moment. The mental health patients, etc.
Life is demanding, yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Well, I'm a very sickly individual.
Mm, she's hardly alive right now.
I'm quarter to dying. But when I first started shopping around for these covers, I always felt pressured to go for the one that is more expensive than the cheaper ones, because there's this impression that's created that the cheaper ones don't protect you as much as you need.
Sure.
But I mean, I suppose that kind of decision gets determined by your bank balance, is which one you can afford.
I mean, it does, and perceived value pricing, I suppose. So I mean, medical schemes as a whole, for them to offer you different benefits is very difficult because of the regulations under which they operate. So they subscribe to something called PMBs, prescribed minimum benefits,
mm-hmm.
Whereby they have to pay on an unlimited basis certain costs.
Okay.
Which I think is a large reason that medical scheme cover, medical aid cover, has gotten so expensive, because of the basket of goods or the basket of benefits that have to be offered by law to the client. So, you know, while I sit on the health insurance side of the fence, I'm not going to sit here and say medical aids are expensive purely for profit. It's a very generous basket of benefits.
All right. So how does yours work differently? I mean, you guys have got an app, you've got a card. You explain how this works, that and where you're different. Because when you started this business, you must have looked at the insurance sort of environment and said, well, how can we do something that nobody else is doing?
Yeah, I think so. So what we looked at, as we said, and I alluded to it earlier, is the vast number of people who just cannot get onto medical schemes.
Mm.
And we're probably going to have a large number of people falling off because tax credits have just been tweaked, and we're not sure how yet to fund NHI.
Right,
so we're going to have a large number of people, I think, falling off. Mm-hmm. So you're marginalizing people who'd really made some advancements in life. And that's where our product came from. It was to say, well, how do we get the majority or more people into the private environment, the private healthcare environment, where we're aware that our levels in the private healthcare environment are fantastically good, mm-hmm. Worldwide. They're world class.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, polar opposites, world class private facilities, sort of really not so good state facilities. So our product aimed to say, well, how do we bridge that gap? And say, let's get more people into private facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then because that's the kind of person we're dealing with, the person who might not have cash available to pay,
right,
claim back from a doctor, etc. So we started innovating ways in which to say, well, how do we actually truly empower our client to seek the medical help they require when they require it?
Hmm.
So that's where the whole card system came from, the app came from now, is basically we pre-fund clients' medical expenses.
You advance the money.
Correct. Absolutely. So basically, on the client say so, app open. I need to see a doctor. Couple of buttons.
For example, I mean, my buddy came in with this cough the other day. You're telling me she could just hear the cough?
I mean.
She could just take out her card and say, I need to come visit the doctor.
That was after a rough weekend, though. Like, I overdid it that weekend.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
So you can go and prepay for this thing with your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
With one plan's money.
Absolutely.
And then afterwards, they'll figure out the details.
Yeah. So, I mean, so if you transact at a doctor that we...
Which is sensible, because you don't have too many options if someone's, you know, bleeding.
Yeah,
you need to go to the hospital. You don't have time to like figure out, go through your documents, see if you've got a claim, see if you don't. You need treatment.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to tell you that you can only see a doctor on the other side of the city.
Yeah.
So really what we said is, hold on.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We know your head's just been cut off, but you have to go to the other part of Johannesburg. That's where you're covered.
Exactly.
Horrible.
Yeah. It has to be loaded to their card, automatically load them to their card within, you know, a matter of seconds.
Wow.
And then to say, well, you know, I'm a firm believer in sort of a free market economy. So the free market economy must then prevail. If you want to see an expensive doctor, you might have to pay in. If you want to see a cheaper doctor, you can pocket some. You can pocket the change.
Right. So you go to the top doctor in Johannesburg. You know, you might have to pay some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you that's your decision.
100%. And you're empowered as a client. And I think that's what's really important about it.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like I have too many arguments against that position. What is the situation, though, if you end up with some kind of dread disease? They call these things dread diseases.
Yeah, they are dreadful.
I mean, yeah, they're dreadful, and they're also dreadful for insurance companies, because you want your clients to be healthy. That way they're paying you a premium that you don't have to pay back.
Yeah, I mean, ideally.
It makes sense. Everybody wants to be healthy. Nobody's going, I need to strip my medical aid out. I'd rather be unhealthy.
No, absolutely. I think the reality is these things do happen, and we've got to provide for them. I mean, that's why insurance, medical aids, any type of sort of indemnity cover does exist, is in the event of the what if. So, I mean, we've chatted about card processing and that sort of out-of-hospital doctors, dentists, medication, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to hospitalization, you know, we break our products down quite simply into sort of three different covers. There's a limitation for accidents, which is generally the largest limit on each level of the policy. We then break it down into general admissions or illnesses admissions, mm-hmm. and then, yes, dread disease admissions, which is a substantially larger limit on all of our products. In the event that you unfortunately end up with a cancer or with sort of a heart attack situation or something along those sort of lines.
What about hypochondriacs? Those people like CF, for example, always think that they're sick even when they're not. And I need to go to hospital.
Yes. CF is the kind of person who thinks that he's going through menopause when his body temperature rises just slightly.
These things happen, Michael, right?
No, they don't.
Not clinically.
It's insane.
What do you do? Because you get those people who are...
I still have prolonged jet lag, and I'm worried about
that. There are people with mental health issues that feel that they're always sick or that need the attention, always checking themselves into hospital. I mean, do you guys get involved? You ever get on the phone and say to, like, listen, Granny Wilson, you need to stop going to the hospital every time that you have an itch?
Yeah, I think, we employ a full clinical team to actually ascertain I have to give you the correct answer here. We employ a full clinical team to ascertain whether or not the admission or the request for admission
tell
is
me about some of the more bizarre claims that you've had. You don't have to mention names.
Geez, I mean,
tell me about some of the strange things people have said to you. Ah, you're going to help me pay for this plastic surgery on my left titty or whatever.
I mean, you often get motivations for very strange things,
yeah?
I suppose. You know, nose jobs, we've had a few for.
Yes.
And those always written up as, you know, somebody has a difficulty breathing. And when you push a little bit harder, there's not really much difficulty breathing.
No, they just want to look like Michael Jackson. Right.
I mean, I go right back to the beginning. We actually had a horrible instance where a lady, she needed a hip replacement, and she went into the hospital for a hip replacement after falling. So we paid for the hip replacement. She was being wheeled to her vehicle in the parking lot and was actually hit by a car.
No.
Oh no.
So that was, needless to say, I mean, that's quite unlucky.
Oh my God. Well, she didn't die.
She didn't. She didn't. No. We had readmitted her into hospital.
Did she have to have her hip done again?
It was her knee this time.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
So that was, I mean, that was quite bizarre. Some days you just throw your hands up in disbelief, I suppose.
Do you guys...
Yes, go on.
Do you guys know immediately when a client is trying to, like, defraud you in some way? Because...
Yes, tell us about those bastards.
You know how we are as humans is... Like, you get into a car accident and you think to yourself, I'm going to just tweak the event of what led to this accident slightly when I'm talking to my car insurance.
Or big claim for whiplash.
Whiplash. Sia and I were in a bumper bashing a while ago. He walked around for like 3 days complaining, oh, I'm so fragile after
that was
whiplash.
Not just
see what I mean about hypochondria?
Thing.
Oh, please. So defrauding, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you got to realize is we deal with claims on a daily basis every day. So you do kind of have an inkling when something's looking a bit wrong. But I mean, if we go back to especially our card system, so we entrust a client to say, I need to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't think clients realize is we see where they transact.
Yeah.
On their card, we have live data that shows us where it is. So we see some quite interesting things, especially over Christmas and New Year's.
like what, for example?
Well, like tops at spa.
On your one plan insurance card, people are at Tops at Spa on your one plan insurance card.
Yeah, absolutely. You see it.
I'm being treated. I've got a terrible problem. I've got such pain. I need ethanol.
So we see some pretty strange stuff.
I need my insides to be sterilized by the ethanol.
Yeah, got a bacterial infection in my throat.
That's some of the examples. I think the majority of the vast majority of our clients use it exactly as intended, but some do stretch the boundaries a little bit.
How about mental health? You guys cover that?
Not really,
because it's hard to figure out, right?
Yeah, it's also
very specialized.
You know, if we get back into what we're trying to do, and we're trying to make private healthcare more affordable, it's specialized and therefore very expensive in order to include. So we do limit it on the majority of our plans.
All right. Well, one plan has turned health cover on its head. Instead of patients paying the doctor and then waiting for weeks to get their money back, they pay you before you even see the doctor. You could learn more about how their unique one card works. For affordable premium health insurance, contact One Plan Health today. Affordable health insurance from as little as 330 Rand per month. Just SMS health to 31644. One plan will call you back. That's health to 31644. Let them call you back. You might even get hold of Michael. He's very busy, but you know, you check in on the call center every now and then.
Yeah, I'm there quite often.
There we go. All right. Anything else you want to throw in?
No,
what are you going to be doing at gym today? What's the agenda?
I probably shouldn't be at gym today, but I just thought I'd just keep everything moving sort of session.
Oh man, I've been so lazy the last couple of weeks.
It's getting colder. It gets harder and harder.
It's not even that. I mean, we could use any excuse in the book. You're like, oh, it gets dark at 4 a.m. I had so much work yesterday. You know what people are like. We all make
it's an
excuses.
Hour of your day, I suppose, yeah?
I've just got to do it. Like, stop being a lazy slob is the only answer. All right, Michael. Thanks very much for popping by, man.
Thanks so much.
Good. And I'm sorry that you had to sit there with Casper the other day. I mean, that must have been an ordeal. You should have claimed from your medical aid just for sitting with Casper. What did he do to you? Are you all right? Because I saw you walked out of there. You were a bit traumatized.
A little bit. I went to Tops at Spa.
That's how you deal with things.
All right. And any ideas around if we can solve Mabali and this terrible cough of hers, then you let us know.
We'll be
there's a doctor that's on your books, so you might be able to refer us to.
Sure.
Thanks so much. Michael Otten is the CEO of OnePlan. And if you want to find out more, as I said, just SMS health to 31644. I've noticed our pets cost about a third of what we do in premiums. Is that about right?
Yeah, about that.
So if you ever wanted a value, if you wanted to ascertain what kind of a value you have over your pet, you're about
three times
the value.
I haven't looked at it like that, but I suppose so.
That's one way of looking at it, you know? It's interesting. All right, thanks so much, Michael. Pleasure to see you.
This is CliffCentral.com.